Good evening. It's nice to see you all. I haven't done this for a little while. My name's Ed. Some of you know me. Some of you might not know me. And I've been part of this church for about 6 years, six, 7 years or so. I've been involved in church leadership for some of my adult life. I grew up in the church. Both my parents are or were vicars and archdeacons at different points. And I also ran a church with my wife in London for a little while. But no longer. I am now a chimney sweep, and I install wood-burning stoves. And I am a very grateful husband and father to three children, two of which are here tonight to support me. They're sitting at the back there. Today we're going to talk about joy. However, as is my custom, I'd like to start off with a little joke. Just to get you in the mood. A lad said to me the other day, he said, "Don't be sad when a bird poos on you. Be happy that dogs don't fly." I thought that was quite good. Do you want another one? Or should I leave it there? Is that too much? I told my lad who works for me the other day, I said, "Have a good day today." So he went home. I was like, that's a bit rude, isn't it? We'll leave it there. Today's passage is from Isaiah 35. I'm just going to read it out. It's entitled in the NIV, "The Joy of the Redeemed." "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and sorrow will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." So joy. Joy is the title of tonight's talk. So my question to you is, what is it? What does it look like? Where does it come from? How can I get it? Can I get it? So quickly, in little pairs or twos or threes, or maybe on your own, if you're feeling shy, that's fine. Have a little think. How would you describe joy? Ready, steady, go. I'm expecting good answers. Otherwise, there'll be detentions. No Googling the dictionary, James. I can see you. You're not allowed to Google the dictionary. It's cheating. I'm expecting some response from Nico as well at the back there. You're not getting away without giving me some answers. There's no point in hiding behind the sound desk. Okay. Anyone got anything they want to share? You don't have to share, but it'd be helpful if someone did. Anyone fancy something? Looking at the wise people. Mummy's got something to say. Giggling. Okay, yeah. Anyone else? Thank you, Karis. You can't just decide to be joyful. You can't make yourself joyful. And you said sustained happiness. Is that what you said? Okay. Ah. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? One more maybe? Or maybe not? The Holy Spirit. Thank you. Okay. I would like to suggest that joy is not happiness. I'll tell you why. Happy comes from a derivative of the word hap, which means chance, and can be found in words such as happen, or haphazard, or hapless, or happenstance, which is a pretty old word, or happening, hence happy. So happy can be seen as the same as chance. So happiness can be described as a good feeling that is dependent on something good happening. So that makes sense on something that is maybe out of your control. Joy, on the other hand, uses the derivative of the word in Greek, chara, related to both the word charis, which means, what does charis mean? Can you remember? Grace or gift, and kairos, which means rejoice or express joy. So, a good translation of the word joy is a natural response to a gracious gift. Jesus said to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." We find that in John 15, verse 11. I don't know about you, but that almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? That my joy will remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Not just a bit, but full. I don't know about you, but I quite fancy a bit of that. Fancy some of that. Does anyone not want joy in their lives? Maybe that's a better way of putting it. Does anyone here not want to have joy in their life? Strangely, no hands go up. Okay, so working from that premise, let's just start to look a little bit deeper. I think it's worth noting that joy is mentioned a lot, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, much more than the phrase happiness. And I think sometimes the pursuit of happiness over the pursuit of joy is one of the problems that we have in our society today, one of the problems that we encounter in this world. But I think there's a good reason that we pursue happiness over joy. And that, I think, is because we mistake happiness for joy. And we mistake trying to make ourselves happy with having joy. I think we are hardwired to be joyful, to have joy in our lives. I think it's part of being human. I think it's part of that natural place. It's inherent in our humanness, in our need. This week, as I've been thinking about this talk, and dwelling on what joy looks like, and I'm just, you know, images of people came to mind that I know that remind me of what joy looks like. We went to pick up a piece of furniture that our friends were giving us today, and their daughter's, she's called Grace actually, and she's, I don't know, three, and she was just full of joy that we were there. It was just like exuberant excitement, and I don't know how to describe, you know, just full of wonderfulness. And And, you know, that she was just so full of joy, that innocence. There's a young boy that comes to this church. You might have met him. He's called Joshy. And he continually reminds me of what joy looks like because he's continually joyful. Everything is exciting and surprising and wonderful. I'm not sure why he's like that. Maybe it's just God's gift to him. Lastly, as I was thinking about this, there was a guy named Gary that I knew quite a long time ago when I was a student at university. And he was a simple man. He was a digger driver by day, and he drove one of those big diggers, dig holes in the ground. You know. Basically, I think he basically built the M62 on his own with his digger. And so he would tell us anyway. And, you know, he was this simple guy who had been saved by Jesus. And he wore this joy into every encounter he had with another person. You know, every time he would do it with me. Every time I came to church, he'd welcome me. And he'd say, grab my hand, how are you? What's going on? And this joy would come out of him. And I'd watch him, and he was the same with everybody. In every situation I ever saw him in, he had this incredible joy that seemed to leak out of every part of him. Why is this? Why do these people have joy? I think maybe it's because we're made in God's image. So we come from a place of joy. And indeed, hopefully we'll go back to a place of joy. And actually this whole passage that I read earlier is a prophecy about what happens when God's kingdom comes and what it looks like. It says in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16, verses 27, God's dwelling place is joy. God dwells in joy. Heaven is a place of joy. And not only that, but God himself is joyful. In his presence is where we will encounter joy. You just look at the Psalms. Every time you open a Psalm, you know, it says, joy comes in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, you encounter joy. I love the fact that God is joyful. You know, far more than any of us have experienced or any human has ever experienced. And I think it's almost tragic that people seem to think of God as somber or stern rather than cheerful and smiling with a great sense of humor. You know, he's enjoying his creation. It says that in Romans. And he is especially enjoying the delightful anticipation of the many new children of God that are coming to know him. So how can we have joy now? Well, Jesus was full of joy. And we're told through the Holy Spirit by both the gospel writers of Luke and John. You know, and Jesus, not only was he full of joy, but he went on to tell his disciples, my joy will remain with you, and that your joy will be full. And he also said that no one will take that joy from you. So Jesus, being the Son of God, the joyful God, is the joyful Son. And it is through him that we can find joy too. I think it's good to note that it's not an optional extra as a Christian to have joy. I know sometimes, you know, maybe this is just my upbringing, but some of the Christians I grew up with seemed very stern and very somber and a bit grumpy. I don't know why I can be grumpy sometimes, can't I, kids? A little bit. But actually, we're not called to be grumpy. We're called to be joyful. And we're called to be filled with joy. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Maybe you're not a Christian, and that's fine. But a Christian is someone who knows that they are what I would call, or what Jesus would term, poor in spirit. Jesus uses this phrase in the Beatitudes. And for me, that was my own encounter, my own story of coming to know Jesus, coming to know God and being part of his family. and being filled with his spirit was having an encounter as a young 12-year-old on a Christian camp, worshipping with a whole lot of other young people, being presented with I couldn't even tell you what the preacher preached about, but I remember it being a gospel presentation. And knowing that I had fallen short, you know, I felt exposed for who I really was. I was poor in spirit. And turning to God in that moment, I encountered his extravagant love. And that changed my life forever. And it continues to change my life. What did I do next? Well, I went back to my tent in tears, and my tent leader scooped me up. And he led me through a little prayer where I said sorry to God for the things I'd done wrong. When I came back home, I did a confirmation course. We used to call it back then. I think we still do. Do we still do confirmation? Probably. And it was a way of basically publicly saying what I believed in. Some people would say you'd get baptized. I'd already been baptized as a child, so I got confirmed as an adult. And I became forgiven by God through Jesus. Then I received God's Spirit. And I continued to receive God's Spirit. And I still continue to receive God's Spirit every day. It's needed. I'm quite leaky. I can't remember who it was that said that. If you don't know Jesus, or if you haven't encountered God's loving arms, if you want to be filled with God's Spirit, maybe for the first time, then tonight is an open invitation for you to respond to this. Why? Because this is where we can find joy. In the natural response to God's gracious gift to us in Jesus. Indeed, as Christians, we are promised that the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is, can anyone remember? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and my favourite one, which I'm not very good at, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Fruit here means the result of labour, but not our labour. We cannot earn God's favour. I remember a guy, one of my favourite writers, a guy called Dallas Willard, would say, grace is opposed to earning, but it's not opposed to effort. We can't earn God's favour, but we can put ourselves in the way of God. The labourer, because fruit is the result of labour, the labourer here is the Holy Spirit. So what it really describes is the fruit is the personality of a Christian who has allowed the Holy Spirit the freedom to work in their life. And one of these things is joy. So what will joy look like in our lives? I'll take you back to Gary. Gary was my prime example of what joy looks like. He was a man who knew that God loved him. And I was reminded this morning as I was listening to Keith talk about those basic commandments. Love God and love your neighbour as you love yourself. Sometimes I think it's better to say, love God, love your neighbour, and love yourself. Because I think sometimes we forget that's important. But it all comes out of love, doesn't it? The love of God for us, and our response to that love. As we spend time with him, as we worship him, rejoicing, as we read his word, as we're filled by his Spirit, we will be filled with joy a joy that we promise cannot be taken, and that will be full. And when joy reaches its full potential, I think it becomes an outward and an upwards thing, not necessarily an inwards thing. It's something we have, but it's something that comes out of us, as it did in Gary. I think my challenge to you is this: how do we respond to the world today and our situations from a place of joy? How can we let the joy of God come out of us into all the things that we encounter every day? Knowing who He is, knowing what He's done, being filled by Him, filled with His love, filled with His grace. His grace being the empowering presence of God to be who we're called to be and to do what we're called to do. John in his letter says, in his first letter says, I'll paraphrase it. He says, complete joy comes when we are united with the Father, with Jesus, and also with each other. At the end of that passage it says, and those the Lord has rescued, that's everyone that's returned to Him, that's been saved by Him, that said, Jesus, will You be the King in my life? Will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. The end, the coming of the kingdom in its fullness, is full of joy. But God's kingdom has already started to come when Jesus came and died on the cross. You know, Jesus' kingdom has come, it is coming, and it will come again. It's one of those mysteries that takes a bit of time to get your head around. I still haven't got my head around it, but. And so joy is present, it's to come, and it's to become in its completion. But I would encourage you that, as we heard last week, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. That your salvation has already started. The moment you turned and looked to Jesus, the moment you let Him love you, the moment you repented and trusted in Him, He gave you His joy. So joy is here for you today by His Spirit. And I just encourage you, come and receive it.